We will have six speakers, and then we are going to open it up to questions from the media. In order to avoid everyone asking questions at once, I will call in the media in the order that you join the call, and if I left anyone off, then, of course, you are welcome to ask questions at the end. So, again, thank you for joining us. We will have six speakers, and then we will open it up to questions. My name is Michelle Trupiano, and I'm the Executive Director of the Missouri Family Health Council. Our mission is to champion access for every individual to culturally sensitive, quality sexual and reproductive health education services. For 37 years, we have been Missouri's sole Title X grantee. Missouri's Title X network is diverse, with 18 subrecipient agencies serving 68 clinic sites throughout the state. The network is comprised of federally qualified health centers, county health departments, community action agencies, hospital-based clinics, and standalone family planning clinics. The network serves both urban and rural communities. You will hear from four of our subrecipients later on the call. Established in 1970, Title X is dedicated to providing quality, no or low-cost family planning services to low-income individuals. This monumental and highly successful program has resulted in providing quality education, contraception, cancer screenings, and STD screening treatment to over 4 million individuals across the country, including approximately 40,000 Missourians served annually. Last week, dangerous and short-sighted rule changes were proposed for the Title X Federal Family Planning Program. The proposed rules represent a dramatic departure from the way Congress intended for health centers to participate in the Title X program and could inhibit access to care. The proposed rules will undermine the Title X program by requiring physical separation of family planning and abortion services, restrictions on counseling and abortion referrals, and de-emphasizing contraception as a core component for the family planning program. These rules are duly harmful, negatively impacting both the Title X provider network as well as the delivery of timely, accurate healthcare information to patients. Everyone, regardless of their age, race, or zip code, deserve access to high-quality care and medically accurate information. These proposed rules threaten healthcare providers' ability to provide that care. And while these attacks are happening on the federal level, there are also state attacks aimed at prohibiting abortion providers from participating in the state-funded family planning program called the Women's Health Services Program. The consequences of these dangerous attacks could be dire for the entire safety net program. Our safety net is already strained, and it cannot absorb additional patients if certain providers, like Planned Parenthood, are removed. Today, approximately 34% of Title X patients in Missouri are served by Planned Parenthood. Prohibiting their participation in federal and state programs simply adds more demand with less supply, an equation that does not work. It'll cause the safety net to break. On this 53rd anniversary of Griswold v. Connecticut, the Supreme Court's landmark decision expanding access to contraception, we again find ourselves discussing the issue and fighting to protect access to basic health care for our most vulnerable citizens. I would now like to turn it over to Janice Thomas from Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis and Southwest region.
Thank you, Michelle. I am representing Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region, but probably more importantly, I'm representing patients who deserve access to high-quality care that is of their choosing. Title X provides a myriad of sexual and reproductive health services, and we are particularly focused on providing those services to low-income and folks who may not otherwise receive those services. But just as importantly, we are also a provider of choice. There are others who choose us not only because of the quality of the care that we provide, but also the way in which we provide care. Michelle spoke to being committed to diversity and equality in care, and we also are committed to providing quality care to all who seek it. We are 34% of the Title X providers in the state, and that speaks to people choosing us. Despite your economic means, we know from data that choice is important. many times people don't access care that is not of their choosing. As Missouri continues to strive to be a better state, it is important that we have healthy, well-balanced citizens, and being able to provide high-quality care that people choose is part of that. If people are not able to choose their providers, often they choose not to seek care. And again, that is not good for us as a community, and certainly is not good for individuals. Equally important in providing that quality care is that we be able to talk to people about all of their care options. Gag rules and restrictions on counseling prohibit us as providers from talking to our patients about the variety of care options that is available to them. It is all about being patient-centered and being able to provide what patients need and helping them by providing information that allows them to make choices that are appropriate for their lives. There are some who will say that Planned Parenthood, in particular, as a portion of the network, is not necessary because there are other entities that can pick up those needs, those patients. To that, I would respond with two things. There is a report that will be available after this discussion that shows that only 7% of the providers that are touted as being alternatives to Planned Parenthood really provide comprehensive, accessible care. But just as important to those of us who are providing patient-centered care is that Planned Parenthood and others need to be available so patients make the best choice of where to deliver the care that they need that is both quality in nature and accessible to them. So though there are fewer providers than some of the data may or some of the conversations may suggest, patients still need to be able to make the choice that is most appropriate for them. We see 34%. We provide a variety of services, not only birth control and cancer screening and STI, but also general well-man and well-woman care. Those things are necessary, and again, because of that and because of our focus on patient-centered care, Planned Parenthood in particular needs to remain a portion of the Title X network and needs to be free to talk to our patients about all of the options that may be best suited for them. I am now going to turn this over to Dr. Colleen McNicholas, who will be representing Missouri American College of Gynecology. Colleen?
Good morning. Thanks, Janice and Michelle, and I'm really happy to be here on behalf of the Missouri section of ACOG. ACOG, or the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and more specifically the Missouri section of ACOG, stands firmly with our Title X partners in opposition of the proposed Title X gag rule. ACOG knows that Title X clinics across the state, including Planned Parenthood, provide vital, comprehensive reproductive health care to the women of our state. The men and women of Missouri deserve access to the full spectrum of reproductive health care, and more importantly, deserve the opportunity to choose the provider that they want to have that care with. Moreover, physicians should not be put in a position to have to compromise either the funding of their clinic or their ethical obligation to provide the best and most comprehensive care to their patients. ACOG feels that the administration should be focused on expanding access to health care, an issue that continues to be difficult for Missourians. The Missouri section of ACOG would like to thank our Title X partners for filling the gaps in providing comprehensive sexual education, access to all methods of birth control, complete education of pregnancy options, and diagnosis and treatment of sexually transmitted infection in some of our most rural and underserved areas across the state. Missouri continues to make gains in reducing unintended and teen pregnancy, which is an accomplishment that would have been impossible without our Title X and Planned Parenthood affiliates. We strongly believe that implementation of this rule would be detrimental to the health and well-being of Missourians across our state. ACOG will continue to support evidence and science-based policies that will promote the health and well-being of its patients and continue to oppose all efforts to exclude qualified women's health services providers and limit healthcare information through the Title X program. I'll be happy to take questions in the end, but right now I will pass this over to Lisa Davis of Tri-Rivers.
Hi, friends. My name is Lisa Davis. I am the Director of Operations at Tri-Rivers Family Planning. We have clinics located in Rolla and Lake Ozark and have helped people plan their families with the help of Title X for 45 years. In fiscal year 2017, we saw more than 3,000 clients for Title X services. Tri-Rivers takes great pride in providing the highest quality care for our clients, which allows them to make informed decisions about their health care. Of course, this includes non-directive options counseling information or non-directive options information and medically accurate health information. The proposed changes to Title X, upon which many in our rural service area depend for their health care, could result in some very negative consequences to the safety net, and of course the safety net is for the state's most vulnerable. The changes could limit provider participation, restrict pregnancy options information, and minimize contraception as a core component of the family planning program. The results, fewer providers, fewer people able to access this essential health care, increased rates of sexually transmitted infections, increased rates of unintended pregnancy. We are not alone in our opposition to these unnecessary rule changes. The American Medical Association, American Nurses Association, American College of Physicians, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists all agree that they are harmful, dangerous, and need to be withdrawn. We must ensure that Title X providers like Tri-Rivers Family Planning can continue to serve clients locally with the highest quality of care. The women and families of Missouri deserve no less. Thank you. Our next speaker is Dr. Zeal with the Contraceptive Choice Center. Dr. Zeal, are you on?
Yes, my name is Carly Zeal. I'm a provider at the Contraceptive Choice Center in the St. Louis area, and thank you for the opportunity to talk today. As a provider at a Title X clinic, I'm proud to be a part of the network of Title X providers that have served almost 40,000 Missourians in 2017 and contributed to preventing over 8,000 unintended pregnancies in Missouri. We are proud that we can serve the safety, we can serve as part of the safety network for women of Missouri who need basic reproductive health care. But the proposed changes to Title X funding have us very concerned about access to comprehensive reproductive health care for our patients. I'm really concerned about this injunction on our ability and our ethical responsibility to provide comprehensive counseling that is evidence-based and serves the needs of our patients. And we're really committed to fighting these proposed changes. So I'll keep it short with that. And turn it over to Kristen Metcalf-Wilson from Planned Parenthood of Great Plains.
Thank you. This is Kristen Metcalf-Wilson. I represent Planned Parenthood Great Plains, where I'm Assistant VP for Health Services and one of their lead clinicians. We reject the Trump-Pence administration's intentions on blocking people from coming to Planned Parenthood health centers. We are a reliable, comprehensive, and a very accessible healthcare network. Planned Parenthood Great Plains has 11 centers in four different states, and four of them are in Missouri. Three of those centers in Missouri participate in Title X clinics and saw nearly 10,000 patients last year. One of the rules, as the gag rule, would prevent us from providing standard of care when a woman enters our clinic and is pregnant and would like options counseling. Standard of care is to provide all options, and this would limit that access to standard of care. One of the things I would like to just bring up, as other people have previously, is to recognize that not all family planning clinics are created equal, and that while many of the family planning clinics in Missouri offer several methods of birth control, many of them don't offer the most effective methods of birth control, which are long-acting reversible contraceptives such as implants and IUDs. All of our Planned Parenthood centers offer those methods, and with the rate of unintended pregnancy steadily decreasing over the past few years, I would say it has mostly to do with the accessibility of those LARC methods of birth control. One of the things I would also like to reiterate is that while Title X will make available access to family planning, why would you limit the access to experts in family planning, which I believe all of our Planned Parenthood health centers are? We have years of experience with our clinicians in providing various methods of birth control, but also with cancer screening, preventative services, and services that fall outside of Title X. So under this rule, it would prevent us from speaking and providing the full standard of practice and options counseling or referring for options counseling outside of this. And this is an attempt, we think, to directly take away women's basic rights. And as a result, people will likely not get health care that they need. They won't get the birth control or cancer screening that they need, and STD testing and treatment, or even just general preventative well-woman exams or well-men exams. I will leave it there. I think other people have hit on all the other topics, but I am appreciative of being available on this call and happy to answer any questions as I can.
So thank you, Kristen. With that, we are going to open it up to questions from the media. I am going to call in the order that that you joined the call, and if I have missed anyone, you'll be able to ask your question at the end. So Alex Smith with KCUR. Alex, do you have any questions? I'm going to move to Madison from the Columbia Missourian.
I have no further questions.
Great, thank you. Erin Hager?
Thank you. I have no questions right now.
Thank you. Modern Healthcare?
Yes. Do you have any numbers of what the provider shortages will look like should these rules be implemented? If there are any counties that are going to be bare of any providers within the current Title X network?
Yeah, that's a great question. I may have maybe me talk a little bit more about the report that they are releasing today that looks at the entire safety net network, both Title X but the larger safety net network, and where there are currently areas that lack a provider that has comprehensive and accessible services.
Thank you.
Maybe do you have further comment on that?
I'll just point you to the report. We'll be glad to ask questions if you take a look at it. The report is broken down by state senate districts, so that's one easy way to take a look at the status of the safety net by different areas of the state. And, of course, yes, there will be thousands of potentially left without the ability to get accessible and comprehensive care if you just remove parenthood from that safety net.
Great. Thank you.
Do you have any other questions?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Joe Manis from the St. Louis Public Radio.
Yes, this is Joe. Sorry, I've got several questions. Just so you know, in some cases, some of your audio is not good enough for radio, just so you know, for future reference. I'm being candid. Okay, first, how will this affect – okay, in Missouri right now, there's the – just the clinic in St. Louis as far as within Missouri's borders. Will that be blocked totally because the clinics and the abortion clinic is in the same building with the other family planning services at the main operation, we're talking on Forest Park, or are there moves being made as far as trying to physically separate it to see if that might protect some of the money, or just how is this, A, the impact, I mean, physically impact, and B, how many women, I mean, because right now you serve quite a few, how many would be then, they would have to go somewhere else? I mean, is this going to be shutting the entire Planned Parenthood operation down in the state, or just just, I mean, just what do you see as the worst case scenario right now?
Well, this is Janice Thomas from Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis affiliate. First of all, in the St. Louis area, there are two Title X centers under the Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region umbrella. One, as you point out, is located at the building on Forest Park at 4251 Forest Park. But we also have another location that is on South Grand that is also a Title X center. So there are two. To point to what you identify as being co-located in the same building, though we are in the same building, we are housed into two separate corporations. There is the Planned Parenthood Corporation that provides preventive and reproductive health care, STI treatment, family planning, and our abortion services, again, though it is located in the same building, is actually a separate corporation that is under our Reproductive Health Services Corporation. The impact, whether physical separation, that is the Title X Center being located in a separate building, I do not know at this point if that will be a requirement, but certainly we will be looking at all the options that are available to us to ensure that we will be able to provide comprehensive care to the men and women of this community who need it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I have a couple follow-up questions, but go ahead and finish.
Yes, ma'am. You know what? There was a beep that happened in the center, so I don't know if I missed something.
Go ahead, Joe. You can ask your next question.
Okay. A couple of this is technical.
Thomas.
And, yeah, because it was a little bit garbled, I mean, the quality. What's your official title?
I'm Vice President for Patient Services and Research.
Okay. And
Joe, this is Michelle Tribbiano from Missouri Family Health Council. I do want to say that regardless of providers, of whether or not they are affiliated with an abortion provider, they will be impacted. They will have to choose between the health of their patients and giving them medically accurate information or receiving Title X funding. So regardless of whether or not there's the separation, that this proposed rule goes far to gag providers, and that then providers will have to make that choice of whether or not to provide that comprehensive, medically accurate information or receive Title X funding. So all providers will be impacted.
So will you be gagged by not, if they ask where they can get abortion services, or if it looks like they're going to need something like that because of that, you can't provide that at all? I mean, are you going to be gagged on all forms of contraception or just certain types? I'm trying to get a handle on exactly how you're going to be impacted.
The proposed rules, and these are just proposed at this point in time, there's still a comment period and a while before the final rules come out, but the proposed rules would gag providers from being able to offer and talk about information regarding abortion services. It does not impact contraception, although there is a de-emphasis on contraception as being the central component of the Title X Family Planning Program, and so there is concern about future funding changes that would reduce funding for contraception.
Now, is there any talk of any sort of lawsuit or any effort to require Congress to weigh in? Because from what I understand, the Trump administration can do this on their own. Am I correct? Or, I mean, I want to make sure I have this correct.
Right. So currently this is a proposed rule. The notice of rulemaking was released on June 1st, and so there's a 60-day comment period that takes place. And then after that 60 days, rules will then be be finalized. They don't have a certain timeline, so we expect that to take a month or 2 months before they're officially finalized. Lawsuits cannot take place until those rules are finalized. So I believe, as many others on this call, that the public health community will not stand for the, how these initial proposed rules are put out there, and that there will be everybody will look at all their options in order to fight back against these rules and the negative impact it will have for patients.
So how many women in Missouri roughly would be impacted? Are we talking, I think I saw in your release something like 40,000, or are we talking about more?
So for Title X, Title X services or Title X is provided to approximately 40,000 individuals per year, but this has even a greater impact for those providers that are outside of the Title X network, because as has been shown, is that if clinics were to have to close, or if Title X patients couldn't access services at certain clinics, the rest of the safety net cannot handle or absorb those patients. And so the safety net in general will be put into jeopardy.
Now, in your report, which says that that only 7% of the other providers, aside from Planned Parenthood, provide what I'm getting is contraceptive services, or is that including well women services? Because I know they keep talking about saying, well, these federally qualified health clinics can handle this, but I'm thinking a lot of them, at least when I checked last year, they don't provide contraceptive stuff. They send them to you guys. I mean, am I correct, or just sort of what's the logistics there?
That is correct, and this is precisely the point that Michelle is making, and that is the way that the safety net is working now includes Planned Parenthood as a provider, that us in collaboration with the federally qualified and others provide the safety net. If you take out one of those providers, there becomes a hole. You're right. For some of the contraceptive issues, they refer to Planned Parenthood. And I would also say when men need care, because we provide well woman and well man care, those patients are referred to us, as are patients who may be looking for sexually transmitted infection care or need care immediately, because we do offer same-day services. So, again, I do think that your information is correct, and you're identifying the holes in the safety net if Planned Parenthood is pulled out.
Okay, one more question. Sorry, but, this is what I'm looking at. So, for looking at Planned Parenthood in Missouri, so I guess we're referring to Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region and then Planned Parenthood of Great Plains of what they provide in Missouri. Of the contraceptive services, separate from the abortion services, because that's obvious. What percentage, does Planned Parenthood provide of the contraceptive services in the state?
Can I ask your question differently, and then Michelle and Kristen can help me respond? Are you asking how many of the Title X patients or through Planned Parenthood, or you're asking of those Title X patients, how many are specifically for contraceptive services?
Okay, well, actually, those are good questions. Can you answer both?
I can answer the first one. So out of the approximately 40,000 patients that are served annually, approximately 34% are served by Planned Parenthood. So we have 68 clinic sites throughout the state, in both urban and in rural Missouri, and Planned Parenthood serves 34% of those patients at five clinic sites.
And this is Kristen Metcalf-Wilson. I think I can catch the next one. I believe the Planned Parenthood affiliates in Missouri provide health care to around 46,000 men, women, and young people every year.
Okay. And when we talk about the 40K Title X, 34% are served by Planned Parenthood. Now, do they qualify? I mean, if you're a Title X recipient, are you limited by income? How do you become a Title X recipient versus another woman just getting it?
That's a great question, Joe. So Title X operates that any person, woman, man, teen, that needs contraceptive services can be a Title X patient. It is offered on a sliding fee scale dependent upon their income. So the sliding fee scale operates that if you're below 100% of the federal poverty level, services are at no cost, and from 101% to 250% of the federal poverty level, they're offered on a sliding fee scale. Title X agencies also take Medicaid, they take insurance, and so patients come to us with a variety of ability to pay or insurance providing coverage.
Okay, so you talked about the 60-day comment period, and that started on June 1st, am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you're talking roughly, you're talking roughly August 1st, am I correct? Somewhere
that is
around
correct.
There?
Yes.
Okay. So then can they implement it in August, or is there another period that they have to deal with first?
So after the comment period closes, they will have to respond to all the comments, and we expect hundreds of thousands of comments to be submitted. So that process in and of itself could take 30 to 60 to 90 days. And then they will issue the final rules. At that point in time, legal challenges can take place. And so a lot of anything that happens after August 1st is still yet to be seen.
So in theory, okay, if you're talking somewhere around August 1st for the 60-day, then they have to deal with all these comments, and that can take a month or two. Basically, you're talking about them finally trying to implement it or putting a final rule in place about the time of the November election. Am I correct or not?
Yeah, that seems like a reasonable timeline.
Okay. I mean, and Congress doesn't have a role in this?
I am not 100% positive the answer to that question, so I can look into that to see anything that they can do, unless, Mevi, you know that answer.
So this process about the administrative rulemaking is entirely through the administrative process. Congress could, through the legislative and lawmaking process, address it, and we're waiting to see what type of legislative remedies might be introduced, but of course you have to see the final rule in order to figure out which course of action Congress may or may not take.
Okay, no, I really appreciate it. Sorry for all that, but I needed to get this kind of nailed, so thank you.
I appreciate it. Will Schmoltz from Springfield News.
Hey, how's it going? Just curious, so previously I've seen figures where Planned Parenthood says abortion services make up about 3% of its total services. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the requirement in one of the rules, as I understand, is that you have to be both physically and financially separate. Given that abortion services make up such a small proportion of the services the organization offers, how difficult would it be to comply with that regulation?
Without knowing what the requirement would be, that would drive how difficult. I think Joan Manis asked a second ago, one of the locations, and again, this is Janice Thomas from the Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region. One of our Title X centers is located in the same building as our reproductive health services abortion center. So that would require us to find another location for that particular center. Again, without knowing what the requirements are, obviously all of the things of relocating a facility would come into play. As far as the financial separation, that already takes place. Our abortion services are a separate corporate entity that is completely separate from our family planning and preventive health services.
Okay.
Right. This is Krista Metcalf-Wilson with Planned Parenthood Great Plains, and we do have one center. Our Columbia Center also co-locates with abortion services. So, you know, depending on what the final ruling is, would explain how difficult that might be. But we are also already financially separate into corporate entities with our comprehensive health services and our Planned Parenthood Great Plains services. So, you know, so financially we've already created that separation, but co-location would make it very difficult.
I think what is important to remember is that these are needless rules, that the requirement for separation of services has long been established, and that those requirement and separation of services has been well implemented, and so that these additional arduous rules are meant solely to attack abortion providers.
Right, and let us not forget the bigger picture. None of this has to do with any of the quality of care provided at any of these area clinics.
Great, thank you. So we've talked a lot about the federally proposed rules and regulations. How will the language that was written in the budget that Governor Parson will sign later this month affect Planned Parenthood's operations in Missouri and Planned Parenthood's funding in Missouri?
Mebby, would you like to speak to that?
Sure, thanks, Will. So what the legislature attempted to do appears to be to specifically single out abortion providers or affiliates of abortion providers participating in some state programs, a state family planning program and then the federal Medicaid program. The report indicates the terrible impact of removing Planned Parenthood from the safety net and the impact on access to accessible, easy-to-reach services and comprehensive services. So we think that would be a terrible impact on the safety net and terrible for Missouri. We still need to see what the state will do with that language that the legislature implemented. It's somewhat unclear in part how that language impact services, so we are currently also waiting, like with the federal rule, to see what the final implementation of that would be, but that has the potential to cut thousands and thousands of patients off from their care from their chosen provider.
How many, if you have these numbers handy, how many patients that Planned Parenthood served in both the family planning program and through Medicaid that would no longer be able to serve if this budget language gets passed?
Approximately 7,000 across the state of Missouri.
That's 7,000 on Medicaid, or is it 7,000 total?
Total.
You have more
total
discrete figures
in those
for each?
Program, sorry. It's there are two programs at issue in the state budget, the state family planning program and the federal Medicaid program. So that's the number of patients who choose Planned Parenthood for care through either of those programs.
Do you have the separate numbers for each program?
Not right now. I'd have to go and look.
Yeah, what are the latest numbers on abortion that are done in the state annually by Planned Parenthood?
So let's be clear. We were just talking about preventive care, so birth control, cancer screenings, STI testing and treatment, and that's what those patients are accessing, and that's completely separate, as has been mentioned, from the number of abortions that are performed in Missouri. And while that number fluctuates, it's approximately 4,600.
And I'd like to add, this is again Janice Thomas from Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region. One of the successes, if you will, of our family planning and reproductive health services delivered through Title X, through our participation in Medicaid and our other activities, have actually led to a decrease in the number of abortions provided. Access to high-quality, comprehensive family planning services is the best way to prevent abortion. With each of our patient encounters, we have a discussion, if you will, with them about what their reproductive life plan or what their contraceptive plan is. And so we try at every encounter to see what the patient needs and to respond to that need. The result of that has been that there is a decrease in the number of abortions needed, not only within this affiliate, but also across the country.
Amanda Gomez with Think Progress. Has any other media joined the call that would like to ask a question? Any other final
questions? Yeah, I have a couple additional questions, but I don't want to hog in anybody else's time.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. On the 4,500 that Mevy said, I mean, this is just so I've got this accurate, okay? Is that 4,500, is that both Planned Parenthood operations in the state, or is that just at the St. Louis Clinic, or is that St. Louis and Columbia? I mean, I want to make sure I've got that straight.
That number is statewide.
Okay, so that's statewide. Now, currently, and this is, I want to make this clear, because I did a story like a year ago. At that point, you guys were talking about expanding clinic and abortion operations in the state to a couple other, I mean, actually having one in the Kansas City area on the Missouri side of the border and Springfield and some others. What's the current status? I mean, are the clinics in the state still just St. Louis? Is Columbia doing some? I just want to make clear how many actually operations in the state where there are abortions provided right now, either just through the medicine or the surgical.
For the St. Louis affiliate, we have one abortion providing facility. And Kristen, if you want to speak for Great Plains.
Right, sure. So in Great Plains, we currently provide surgical abortions in our Columbia Center, and our Patty Grouse Center, which is the Missouri side, Casey Moe, they're not currently providing services. We were until about a month ago, and that's just a provider transition.
Okay, so right now we're talking two and then possibly three if once things get finalized in the Kansas City area. I mean, would that be accurate?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so the 4,500 is everywhere in the state.
That's
am I
statewide,
accurate on that?
Yes.
Okay, and that's just from Planned Parenthood. We're not talking about any other, I mean, like private physicians or anybody like that. Am I accurate?
I cannot speak to what happens in private physicians' offices. We are a licensed abortion provider through our reproductive health services, and so those are the only numbers that I have, and obviously those of our sister affiliate in Kansas City and Columbia.
So
I don't know what's going on with other doctors.
Yeah, so, well, no, I just want to make sure. When I say 4,500, I can say Planned Parenthood operations around the state provide about 4,500 abortions a year. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is accurate, but they're provided through an entity called Reproductive Health Services and Comprehensive Health Services. Am I getting that right, Kristen?
Yeah, Comprehensive Health Services of Planned Parenthood Great Plains. So it's a separate ID, tax ID number. It's a separate corporation, yeah.
No, that's good distinction. And then as far as women who are served for all services, you know, contraception, well women, whatever, how many are we talking about? Are we talking about 7,000, or is that just under the Title X program? How many altogether?
For Planned Parenthood entities, like our health centers in Missouri?
Yeah. I mean, like, yes.
Yeah.
I can say X number.
Yeah, so it's my understanding that the Planned Parenthood affiliates in the state of Missouri provide about 46,000 encounters a year for men, women, and young people.
Okay, so that includes well person services as well,
yeah,
as
reproductive health. Uh huh. Yeah.
And does that include the 4,500 abortions or not?
No.
No.
No. No.
See, that's what I needed to know. That's good.
No. No. Not only because of the corporate distinction, but primarily because of the corporate distinction and the nature of the services, abortion services are completely separate from the family planning and the preventive health services that we offer through Title X.
Okay, so the 46K, that's all through Title X, is that right?
No, that's just affiliate care.
Okay, and then so what, 7,000 is Title X of that amount? Is that correct?
Annually, it's about 13,000, I believe.
13,000, I believe it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
Okay, so you guys are serving about 46,000 men, women, and teens with all sorts of care. This is separate from abortions, but other things. Of that number, 13,000 are covered through the Title X program.
Yes.
Separately, not included is the 4,500 abortions.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I know this sounds like I'm belaboring it, but it's just like two or three sentences in a story, but I want to make sure that it's right.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, with that, I believe that that is the end of the question, so we will end the call. Did somebody else have a question?
Yeah, this is Madison McMahon from the Missouri, and I just had one quick question, if that's all right.
Yes, go ahead, Madison.
This is for Kristen Metcalf. So speaking specifically about the Columbia Planned Parenthood Center, the one on Providence, so that one does currently provide abortions, correct?
Correct.
And so if the proposed rules go into effect as they're written right now, I understand there is going to be a comment period and this is not the finalized version, but say it's not changed and these go into effect, would it be fair to say that that Columbia Center would have to find a way to physically separate abortions from their current building? They would have to find a new location?
Well, we are currently waiting to see what the final version requires, before we address that. But, I mean, that's certainly a possibility of what they define separation as. So,
okay.
So the ultimate definition of what a separation, physical separation of facilities would be, would force that decision. But also remember that, I mean, not just those centers that co-locate, Title X centers around the state would not be able to refer to us. I mean, they wouldn't be able to, whether they were Planned Parenthood or not, Columbia is a safe place, safe and legal abortion center, and this is some place you could go. So the Title X providers would not be allowed to refer to us.
Okay. And what does that mean for the future of the abortion services provided there? Does it jeopardize that center's ability to continue providing abortion services, or is it something that you'll kind of continue to do no matter what? I mean, legally.
Well, our mission, our mission would be that we would continue to provide safe and legal abortions. The question would be, can we do it with or without Title X funding?
Okay.
A quick follow-up.
Okay, that's all I have for now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Will.
Hey, so my understanding about the Springfield Clinic process for becoming licensed as an abortion facility was that y'all had submitted an application last year. That inspection was delayed, and, the various processes that the state has to do to inspect it and, approve it were delayed. And eventually the new laws from the special session last year came into play. And at that point, what happened? Did you all drop your bid to start offering abortions in Springfield, or were you mulling it over while there plays out in court? What's going on there?
This is Janice Thomas at Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region. The inspection did take place. It was inspected in accordance to, as you point out, the rules that were currently in place at the time of the inspection. There was one piece that was actually being litigated, and that piece has not been resolved. So the state did speak to the things that they were able to speak to at that time. They actually had our file open, and it is on what we are calling indefinite hold. There were some pieces, as I point out, that are being litigated, and until that's resolved, the state does not know what they can inspect us or what rules they can inspect us based on, and we don't know what we need to respond to. We are committed and still very interested in providing abortion services in the Springfield or the Southwest Missouri area, but that particular application is on indefinite hold pending the resolution of some of these other issues.
You said there was one piece that was being litigated. What specifically is that piece?
The complication plan, there is a requirement that there be a local physician or physician group that would handle anyone who would have what the state would classify as a complication or would be seeking follow-up.
Thank you.
All right. With that, I believe that we will end the press conference. I think that the important thing to remember is that all of these attacks coming from both the federal level and the state level is going to damage the safety net network and is going to leave patients without access to care. We will send out a link to the recording along with quotes from this call. If you have any additional follow-up questions, you can feel free to reach out. Thank you all for joining.